If you have your Bibles with you, we will be continuing in this journey, talking about the reconciled, rejoicing life, and working through Philippians, and today specifically Philippians chapter 4. Last week we talked about passionate discipleship, and one of the components of passionate discipleship that we talked about last week was something called glocal justice and compassion. And so I hope you won't move too quickly from reflecting on what it means to be a people of peace, seeking the well-being of the city, and praying and asking God, both individually and then corporately, as a community of faith here, what it means to be glocal disciples. A second foundation that I often like to talk about when thinking about passionate discipleship is something called messy community. And as we talk about the reconciled, rejoicing life today, I simply want to start off by saying the reconciled, rejoicing life has a messy foundation. Because we as the people of God live a messy spirituality that is born out of a messy story. And if you read the lectionary reading this week in Exodus 32, you read of a story where Moses went to the mountaintop and Aaron and the people of God decided that Moses was gone too long and they needed to build a golden calf to worship. These people who had just come out of slavery and gone into this place of freedom, when Moses was away, they began to build something out of their own hands to worship rather than the living God. It's a messy story. And in Psalm 106, we hear this same messy story where the psalmist recounts what it meant to be the people of God and how the people of God sinned, how they blew it, and yet how Moses stood in the breach and really pleaded for the people of God. And God, in his grace and mercy, showed kindness and forgiveness to the people of God. Messy spirituality comes from a messy story, and we see it from First Testament to Second Testament, or Old Testament to New Testament. One of my favorite quotes on this mess is from a man named Mike Iaconelli, and he wrote a short book called Messy Spirituality. And I just want to read a short excerpt from this book. He says, "The truth is we are a mess. None of us is who we appear to be. We all have secrets. We all have issues. We all struggle from time to time. No one is perfect. The essence of messy spirituality is the refusal to pretend, to lie, or to allow others to believe we are something we are not. Unfortunately, people can handle the most difficult issues more easily than they can handle the lack of pretending. When you and I stop pretending, we expose the pretending of everyone else. The bubble of the perfect Christian life is burst, and we must all face the reality of our brokenness. The truth is, we are a mess. We have messy life stories. We have a messy God story that we live in, from Old Testament to New Testament." Well, secondly, I want to say that the mess continues. And even as we look at our Philippians 4 text this morning, we see it begins with Paul urging two people in the church to seek reconciliation. Paul urges these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to be of one mind. Now, I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago when I talked about our minds needing to be transformed in this journey of transformation, and how Paul, as he works through this letter and shares this letter with us, and to the Philippians, he's often reminding them of unity. But it's not just a unity that's nice and easygoing, but it's a unity that is formed because we have this mind of Christ unity that can be achieved as we walk with Christ. Perhaps you may wonder how reconciliation and rejoicing fit together. I don't know if those are strange partners for you, but I want to say that in the midst of reconciliation, in the midst of admitting that we're in a bit of a mess, In the midst of admitting that we don't always have our act together, we actually can cultivate a place where we can rejoice. Do you want to draw near to God? Or do you want to sense a deeper presence with the living God? Then Paul exhorts us to reconcile. He exhorts us to rejoice and to let our gentleness be evident to everyone. And the Lord draws near. It makes me think of James chapter 4. James was written, some scholars would say that the book of James is written by the brother of Christ. He says in chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do you want to draw near to the Lord this day, this week? Then reconcile, and then be a people, a person who rejoices. So messy spirituality comes from a messy story. And then this messy story moves through the whole story of God, from Old Testament to New Testament. But thirdly, I want to say that there is a sense where messiness is remixed. Not messiness is fixed, but messiness is remixed. And what I want to say there is that God takes our messiness and he remixes it. He works with it so that we can be, as Paul urges us in Philippians 2, to shine like stars. And if you have your Bibles open and look back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, do all things without murmuring and arguing so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. I think that's something that every generation can get behind. And even as we're here together with every generation of this community of faith, we can say, God, help us to shine like stars. Whether we're at school, whether we're spending time with our families, whether we're called to our workplace from week to week, whether we're retired and living a life where we rub shoulders with other people who are retired in our community, we are called to shine like stars in the world. I want to close our time with a short exercise, a spiritual exercise. Some of you practice spiritual disciplines, and one of the spiritual disciplines that you may practice is something called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for sacred reading. Does anyone know or practice Lectio Divina? Handful, yes, I see those hands, I see those fingers. Lectio Divina, the sacred reading of Scripture, a spiritual discipline. It's not a big deal, but it can be a very valuable, intentional, day-to-day or week-to-week practice where you can create space in your lives with the Word of God to hear from God. And so I want to just pause and do a very brief spiritual exercise. And we'll call this a minio lectio divina. And we're going to specifically look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, if you were doing Lectio Divina, what you would do is you would pause, and you would have someone read this, or perhaps you would read through it audibly, out loud, in a quiet space. And you would ask God to show you the illuminated word. Maybe the word or the phrase that just jumps out at you as you read that text. The illuminated word. And so, quickly, I'll just read that verse again. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so this morning, as we do Minio Lectio, maybe one of those eight words just bursts out on the page into your heart, your mind, your soul. Maybe it's true, honorable, commendable, excellence. And what you would do in Lectio Divina is then just prayerfully respond to God showing you that word. And you might just say, God, in light of that word jumping out at you, maybe it's commendable. Then you would pray, God, show me today, this week, how to respond to your word interacting with my life. And so this is something that every one of us can do. This isn't a lofty spiritual discipline like trying to fast for 7 days and only drinking juice and small wafers. This is something that all of us can get a little piece of. Reading a piece of scripture, sitting quietly, reading it out loud, asking God to show you what that illuminated word might be. And as we reflect and respond to a text like this, then we will see how God can take our messiness and remix it a bit, where he can take our messy story, our fumblings or our mistakes or our regrets, and instead we can allow God to speak to us. Maybe the word that spoke to you in that particular verse is beloved, and maybe you have forgotten your belovedness in God. And in the midst of our messy story, we can respond and allow the Spirit of God to remix us. I want to finish with verse 9, where Paul says, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I keep on encouraging us to think about being a people who seek the peace and well-being of the city. And if you look on the back of your bulletins, there's a paragraph where we, as a community of faith, say this is our mission statement. It's the third paragraph. By honoring and serving one another, welcoming strangers, and praying for friends and enemies, we strive to live in such a way that we are a sign of God's shalom, peace and well-being in the city. There's a lot of church vision statements in Edmonton. I was surfing the net this week and looking at all the websites that had vision statements. This is ours, seeking the peace and well-being, being a people of shalom. And we can put it on our website, but I think the real challenge for us is that when people walk into our church, when people walk into our conversations, when people walk into our small groups, when people enter our homes, is there shalom? Are we a people that bless and bring peace and well-being to all these places? Paul says, Euodia and Syntyche, get along in the Lord. The call's the same for us. As we get along, and more importantly, are allowing our minds to be transformed because of Christ who lives in us, we will create this environment of rejoicing, reconciliation, gentleness, and renewal. As we close with a word of silence, I invite you to continue to reflect on Philippians 4:8. What is that word that's illuminated for you this week? And in a moment of silence, pray that God would show you how to live out that interaction with the scripture that you have maybe experienced even this morning. And over lunch, as you're sharing with family and friends, might you share that word? Might that just be a sharing point for some of us in conversation? What was the word for you? What was the word for you? And what was God doing in our midst even this morning, calling us to do as a rejoiced, reconciling people? Let's pray silently together, and then I'll close with a passage, a verse from John 14. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid."